Thank you for tuning in to our Oasis Young Adult Podcast. Oh Yeah meets Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on campus at Oasis Community Church. We hope that you are inspired by today's message. Let's get into it.
Man, it's so good to be here with you, Megan.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Can't wait to just, you know, dive into our conversation as it relates to mental health and what I believe is going to be a powerful one. So let's first start out. Just tell us about yourself. Tell us about kind of your background, how long you've been in the field, and then we'll jump from there.
I have been in the field since 2011. I started with drug rehabs and methadone clinics and worked in the drug rehab world for a while and then transitioned into private practice. Mm-hmm. And I am EMDR, like trauma certified, and I also work in the perinatal mood disorder world, so servicing women who and families going through the postpartum, perinatal, and then infertility as well. And so that's where my practice kind of focuses on anxiety, depression, trauma, and then postpartum and perinatal.
Awesome. No, I love that. Kind of give us just a overall highlight of, because I think I was reading today and I thought it was very interesting that I think it's like some kind of, I think it's like 13% or something like that. I don't want to misquote the statistic, but it was a very staggering statistic of the amount of college students that deal with depression and anxiety on such a high level. Mm-hmm. And some of them actually forego getting treatment. They just kind of weather their way through it. Kind of talk through that, of the detriment of not seeking help and what that could lead to as a result of that.
If you kind of think about, like, if you have a little like splinter or wound and then you don't like get the splinter out, or you don't bandage it, and then it can like fester and keep growing. If we have something that starts at an early age, high school or college, especially college with all the transitions and stressors, and then we kind of put like a maladaptive coping skill on top of that. So maybe it's like staying up late, maybe it's caffeine, maybe it's partying, or maybe it's just like pushing through and not talking to somebody. And then as we get older and the stressors keep piling up, we keep kind of using those maladaptive coping skills. And so it just becomes this really big problem. So maybe we have like huge, like fatiguing depression, or maybe anxiety that's causing panic attacks, or we can't function. And so it's really important that if we start noticing those little like thorns or splinters, that we reach out, maybe see a therapist, or just start like exploring the idea of help.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that is really good, especially when you talk about the exploring the idea of help. I guess, what are the key indicators when you think about, like, these are key indicators that you may need to actually go and see someone? Like, what would you suggest to say, okay, maybe, I don't know, give us some things to say, hey, these are some things, if you're experiencing these things or these things are happening in your life, it probably will be a good time for you to go and seek help.
I would love everyone to have a therapist now, yeah, even if you don't need them every day. But not world right now. But I would really say, if you start noticing just that, like, that every day or maybe like every couple days irritation. So you're like just a little less energy than normal, or your things are kind of bothering you a little bit more. The stressors are piling up a little bit faster. That cup of overwhelm just seems to spill over a little bit more each day. You know, if you are struggling with like things are just triggering you or feeling a little bit sharper than usual, like that's definitely the time to
get help,
to say like maybe today.
No, for sure. I like that. So especially with those of us, I know some people in the room, and I too myself have found myself here in that transitional period, because we're young adults, you know, some of them are having babies, mm-hmm, having families, starting families, and that transitional period of, okay, I go from it's just me and my wife to now it's me and my wife and a kid, mm-hmm, and this dynamic is different. The you know, now I have a crying baby, yes, that I used to say me and my son, we used to have crying fests. He would cry, I would cry. You know what I mean?
That's all right.
And he would scream, I would scream. And then he would get scared, I would get scared. So it's like, you know, we go back and forth. Mm-hmm. But just kind of talk through just what healthy transition looked like as it relates to your mental health especially when it comes to that the dynamic of maybe you're walking into a newness of life, whether that's newness into college, newness transitioning out of college, newness of maybe you're starting a family, newness of some kind of relationship, those kind of transitions. Like, what do you think are healthy checkpoints as it relates to mental health?
There's so stress is a normal, natural thing that we're supposed to have. It kind of keeps us going. It keeps our homeostasis like moving forward. So a little bit of stress is good. If it's really cold, our body shivers, so we know to like put a jacket on or like get warm. And so if we're having those like, kind of those checkpoints into a new transition, you know, oh, we're a little tired or a little anxious with like a newborn or going into a new college situation, like a little like worried about like what the professors are going to think or what my roommate's going to think of me in or a new job. Like, oh my gosh, there's so much there too. But so if we go into those and we have like, and everyone's going to be different, like whatever, like you kind of feel like, okay, this is manageable. It kind of comes up, but it goes back down and I can kind of feel like I've got a grasp on it. When it starts to kind of build and build and build, and maybe it comes up and it doesn't go back down, or it goes up every single day and it gets to the point where maybe you're avoiding people or you feel like you can't have a conversation without just like breaking down, or you can't hold a conversation because your focus isn't there, then that's definitely a time to say, okay, that's probably like, this doesn't feel normal for me anymore. This is outside of my comfort level, and definitely time to address it.
For sure. I think that's really good. I guess this is really good because you said, you know, talking about it's time to address it. A lot of times I think people are reluctant to go get help only because I think we don't necessarily know how to decipher what's good help versus bad help.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Understanding, okay, this is good for me, this is not good. You know what I mean? And then the comfortability with the individual that you are sharing with. Like, what does that look like? Kind of talk about that.
Everyone's different. So every connection is going to look different. And it's just like finding a significant other or a friend or a job. You don't really know until you're in it a little bit. I know that sounds really scary. All therapists, or at least they should, most of them do, offer a free consultation. So you can like find them, give them a call or like email them and say, I'm an email person, and say like, hey, I'd like to kind of chat a little bit, make sure that we kind of get along, make sure they vibe with you, basically. Like, do they say words that you connect with, or are they talking like over you or under you, or do they know when you say like, hey, this is my struggle, and they're like, yes, no, I totally relate to that. Do you feel comfortable just having this 10-15 minute conversation with them, or are you completely off put by them? And then you can go forward and say, okay, well, let's try that first session, that initial meeting. And really, a good therapist is going to be someone that you feel comfortable with, that lets you feel like be comfortable. You can open up to, you feel like you can keep sharing with them throughout. We don't want to like trust right away, but someone that you could probably trust and be like, oh, they kind of know what they're talking about. If you kind of get that weird feeling of like, I don't know if this person's right for me, I don't really know, outside of like, oh, they're making me like do something I'm not super comfortable with because like I have to do a little bit of change and hard work. Sure. They're saying like, go do this weird thing, and you're like, I don't think so, that's probably a bad therapist, it's okay to go away. Like, you can run away. But really just kind of exploring it. I empower you to call, text even, a couple, and kind of see like who connects with you. And you get to be the judge, and you get to be the one that makes the call on that one.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's really good. Just talking about just taking that ownership and responsibility of, one, the evaluation part, but two, being able to know what to look for as it relates to a therapist. I know personally for me, I've had this experience to where I've gotten some form of therapy and I'm like, okay, you know, this is a great individual, but I don't think this fits for me.
Mm-hmm.
And having the courage enough to say, hey, like, maybe I need to reevaluate if this is necessarily right, or if I need to go like a different direction.
Oh, 100%.
I think we talked about this earlier, but I want to dive deeper into this. Just talking about the importance and the healthiness of having the conversation, because I think there is this cultural stigma mm-hmm. that could stick as it relates to actually having a conversation with someone. Especially when it comes to men, we could be prideful, like, yeah, I don't even talk to nobody mm-hmm. about what's going on in my mind, right? Or ladies, maybe even having that stigma that sticks, or that culture that says, I don't need to go and see anyone, or you know, I can kind of handle it on my own. Kind of talk about the importance of a healthy mental health, one, and then a healthy relationship with maybe a therapist.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. There's a lot. I think that I don't need help, or even the, I'm sure this is normal.
Yeah.
You know, going to college, I'm sure everyone's stressed. I'm sure it's hard. Having a new job, I'm sure it's always hard. Having a new baby, I'm sure it's hard. Like this, it's hard for everybody. It's of course hard for me. Like I'm nowhere different,
sure.
But giving yourself that like benefit of the doubt, like, well, maybe this is a little too much, or maybe it is like to the point where I do need to go check in with somebody. Having a, you know, and starting today, having this like gauge of yourself, this like introspective idea of how do I feel day to day, like journaling, or there's tons of apps that like check my mental health. And so you check in daily and say like, how, like rank today, was it a happy face or a sad face? Was it a 1 or a 10 or a range in between? And then like, what were some points that stood out for you that day? So you can look back on it in a month and go, oh, it was a pretty good month. Or you can look back and go, oh my gosh, I had a bunch of ones. Maybe I'm not completely touched in tune with my body and like what's going on. Mm. Supporting each other and having a conversation with friends in groups, with your spouse, and just saying like, how was your day today? Or how are you today? Like, what's going on? Like using that ranking scale at home. I tell all my clients to get a 1 through 10 and put it on their fridge. Mm. And everyone in the house has a magnet, and they get to put a magnet on where they are that day. Mm. So it's completely nonverbal. You just put it up there, but everyone knows like, oh, wow, you're having a bad day, or you've had a lot of bad days in a row. Let's talk about that. Let's explore that a little bit more. Mm. So really just being able to check in, but then check in with yourself as well.
Yeah. I think when we start doing young adults, we'll have a nice 1 through 10 and just put your magnet up there. Yeah. And then if anybody's, you know, consistent week by week, we gotta have a conversation.
I like that.
I think this is really good. As it relates to being able to combat, healthy ways to combat this anxiety and depression, which seems to be something that is on the radar of a lot of the demographic of 18 to 35. So tonight we're, you know, we called it courageous conversation, because you need courage to deal with the mental health, because it's mm-hmm. not a tangible thing. It's not mm-hmm. something you could physically touch. However, it is something that is affecting the lives of families, friends, colleagues. I think we're seeing it at a greater scale in our world of people just going absolutely insane because yeah. of things that don't get dealt with in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think let's talk about this. What does it mean to combat in a healthy way anxiety and depression, or just things you're dealing with mentally, period? Like, how do you combat in a healthy way?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are some things that we're doing maybe that could be unhealthy as it relates to our mental health?
So doing those check-ins, knowing where you are, and then finding your top 5 coping skills that feel good. Mm. Is it listening to a song? Is it worship? Is it prayer? Is it going, like exercising, going on a run? Is it checking in with like having some social, or checking in with a friend? Is it calling a loved one, or just your support person? Is it meditation? You know, kind of finding that cluster of things that really just feel good for you and that can help kind of bring you back down and reduce that anxiety or reduce that depression. I said those maladaptive coping skills. So those things that we kind of start putting into place that aren't our healthiest. Mm. So, you know, withdrawal or silence, drinking, drugs, parties, those are like the ones that go really on the other end of it all. Even just, you know, shutting down and like denying it. So like pushing it away and being like, this doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Unfortunately, it does exist, and it'll come out kind of when you least want it.
Mm. Yeah. I always like to say this, and I think this is important as it relates to the conversation of mental health. Anything that you bury alive will at some point come back to you at some point in your life. It just won't be convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just won't be convenient. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And I think I was sharing with some people the other day that, you know, as it relates to, I think this is important with your mental health too, that, you know, the necessary routine maintenance, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
that has to be done along the way that prevents the kind of major blowups in the end.
Mm-hmm.
In
Definitely.
The end. So I think another thing that we could dive into is as it relates to dealing with trauma. I think, you know, one of the things that especially our generation deals with a lot is traumatic experiences, especially with all of the, you know, from, I think for us, it's, you know, 9/11, and then also the multiple, school shootings, major public shootings that have taken place, mm-hmm. that could be super, super traumatic, that could make you feel like, you know what, I don't even want to go out in public anymore, let alone, be in a space of vulnerability. So kind of talk about, how do we process mm-hmm. healthily, traumatic experiences, and then to what point do we get to where maybe the traumatic experience leads to a different conversation of maybe I need to get help in sorting this thing out?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Trauma comes in all shapes and sizes, and it can affect everybody differently. Hmm. Some people, and it depends on how you were raised and what we're going through at the time of the trauma. And so some people can take it and kind of like take it in stride, and it's there, but it's not that big thorn. And some people it's a big thorn.
Sure.
And so we want to kind of acknowledge, okay, like what was the trauma? What happened? What's happening to me? Mm. And then we also notice that it will affect us no matter what, whether, you know, it's mild and it's there and it's just like a piece of our history, or if it's constantly coming up. So, you know, once we notice that it's affecting and it's there, then we address, okay, what do I do with this? Is it shootings and fear there, so I'm not going out in public anymore? Sure. Like, okay, well, that's probably something where I go and I, you know, I work with a therapist and we kind of process through, you know, the emotional and the logical pieces of that trauma. Is it just something where I get like a lot of anxiety when I have to go get in a car because I've had a car accident? Mm. Is it childhood stuff and it's affecting my parenting? And so we just kind of see, like, you know, is it something that's, we could probably just agree, like, most of us are going to have some kind of trauma throughout our life, like either big traumas or really little traumas. But it's how it's playing out throughout our lives. And so that's when we kind of come back in and go, okay, now I notice again that it's causing more of a spike than I'd like. And so we need to start addressing it.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. And I also like the fact that you said that trauma is and can affect people in different ways, mm-hmm. Because it's not like an umbrella statement. It's not like overarching that affects everybody in this way.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, it rains, but everybody doesn't get fully wet, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you know, it could be dribble here, dribble there. However, it does affect someone in a certain way, and we need to be able to have that. I think my last question is for you. When it comes to just the topic of mental health and understanding, you know, as young adults, you know, how do we have these conversations with others to say, you know what, this is important? One of the things that I know as a pastor that I've dealt with more times than I would like to admit is individuals that are dealing with suicidal ideations. Mm-hmm. And one of the scariest things is that, you know, you go through those questions that we're required to ask, you know, do you have a plan? Do you have a means to fulfill that plan? You know, that whole thing.
Right.
And I think one of the scariest things that happens is like people don't necessarily take those seriously. So kind of talk to us about, one, how to have those courageous conversations with others, but two, also to recognize, hey, when you may need to be that friend, mm-hmm. that as the story that Jesus, that happened with Jesus, where they literally opened a part of the roof and dropped the person in front, like, hey, you know, I know you can't get help on your own, but maybe I need to be that aid for you. Yeah. Kind of talk about that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where coming together and checking in and having like an accountability group or, you know, a young adults group or a small group of friends is so important. And I think that groups like this, the coming together, we need it to come back more and more and more. We've gotten so distant and everything's online, and
sure.
and those are good too. And those can be check-in groups, but really being able to look someone in the face and look them in the eyes and say, how are you doing today? And if you know them long enough and well enough, you'll know if they need help or not.
Sure.
And if they're not looking like they're feeling super great. And so being able to not only be courageous to tell somebody, hey, I'm not doing okay, but be able to ask that question and sit with them through that. Checking in with them, like that support, that love. Most of the time they're feeling alone. They're feeling hopeless and there's nothing left for them. Like they've screwed up so bad, they can't come back from it. So just letting them know we can always come back. And then, you know, having those resources of, you know, Google Phoenix Crisis Line, and you'll get like three different numbers, and you'll be good to go. And they're supportive as well if you think you're just a little bit out of your range. But just being there, being supportive with somebody, and letting them know, like, I'm here for you. What can we do? How can I help you? Even being that friend and saying, like, I have hard times too. We don't have to lie or anything, but like, I think we've all had some hard days. And sure. So we can say, like, I've had days too where I don't feel super great. So let's do this together. What can we do together?
Yeah. No, I think this is really, really good. Let's do this, Megan. Before we sign off tonight, before we end, why don't you just look in one of those cameras and just pray for the young adults that may be struggling in their mental, or maybe struggling to have that courage to say, I need to have a conversation with someone. This is, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, and we just want to kind of harp in on, before we get to Q&A, just saying, hey, like, man, if you're struggling with this, you know, we're praying for you. Do that. Do that.
Lord God, we're here with you tonight, and we love you and thank you. We pray that you will help us be aware of our mental health, be aware of our needs, and be able to help others. We thank you for the strength you give us, and to be able to have these courageous conversations with ourselves and with each other. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, listen, I'm so glad that we got a chance to chat with you live for the first time. We'll do it again next month. But hey, if you enjoyed this time, I want you to comment or send it to someone maybe need this conversation. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you.
Thanks for listening. If you were impacted, share this message with a friend and let us know via Instagram. You can find us at OhYaPHX. Until next time, be a disciple, be bold in your faith, live for Christ.